we'll just meet together. And by the way, just as a reminder, we don't, as a class, participate in Promotion Sunday. Just if you feel like you got to be promoted, and we got to talk to the Lord about this thing and get His help, okay? So anyway, I'm glad that you're here, and I trust that you had a good week. Hope that you did. And we're going to be this morning over in Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Can you guys hear me back there, Jim? Okay. I feel like I'm not very loud this morning for some reason. I'm a little low. Could you take me up a little bit, Valerie? Well, I'll deal with that later, but Matthew 14, and then we're going to take one verse out of Mark chapter 6. So if you could go there as well and just hold your finger in just a moment, we're going to start reading those words first from Matthew 14 and then in a minute from Mark 6. Okay, so we've been on this thing about savoring the Word of God, understanding it, learning it, studying it, spending time in it, and trying to understand it to the point to where we believe it and trust it and base our life upon it. Spending time in the Word of God so much that we begin to cherish what it says. And, you know, one of the most difficult things to do in life for anybody really is to be a good listener. Is to listen. You know, if we did the right thing every time we did it, we would get into God's Word and we would listen for His leadership. But let's just say the truth here. Sometimes we're not very good listeners, both as believers and unbelievers. Sometimes we don't listen well. It seems sometimes because of our human capacity to rebel and be difficult with the Lord, that we will do just about anything other than truly trust Him in our life. And you know what I'm talking about. There's been things in your life, as well as many in mine, that the Lord has had to convince me that He knew the right way. Whether it came to church attendance or tithing or self-control or listening more than talking or whatever, sometimes we don't listen. Life is hard, says John Wayne, but it's harder if you're stupid. That sounds like John Wayne, doesn't it? The Christian life can be hard, but it's harder when we don't listen. And what I'm finding is from Matthew 16, backtracking to Matthew 12, 13, and now 14, it's not just listening, but it's savoring the Word of God. When we live as Christians and we do not spend time savoring God's Word and allowing Him to affect our thoughts and our attitudes and our will, then we as Christians are doing something, if you'll excuse my irreverence here, we're doing something very stupid. I want to give you three examples of savoring this morning from Matthew 14, savoring the Word of God. Let's read the first two verses. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." Now, this is something that Herod's come up with in his mind. He has observed, along with all the people around, all the mighty works of Jesus, the healing of the leper, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, and all the things that he did that they saw. And here Herod, King Herod, he's the boss, he's the top guy, and he says, well, the reason Jesus can do this is he's really John the Baptist. He's risen, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, he's a ghost. And he can do all these things because he's a ghost. Now, at one time, Herod had been very respectful of John the Baptist. The first part of this chapter is about what happens to John the Baptist. But at one time, Herod listened to John the Baptist. Those words that Herod, or rather that John the Baptist said, Herod listened to, and there was something in there that made him think that he needed to listen to them. And what was John the Baptist saying? He was saying exactly what Jesus Christ was going to say. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John 1, 6 and 7 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. And so Herod at one time, even in his belief, in his unbelief, had respect unto John the Baptist who heralded the things of Jesus Christ. Now turn over to Mark 6. Mark 6 verse 20. We're going to look at one verse. Mark 6 verse 20 says, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So here we're in a story about what Herod and his family have done to John the Baptist. But at one time, John the Baptist's words meant something to Herod. He saw something there. At the end of that verse, it says that Herod heard him. He did many things and heard him, what? Gladly. You know what that reminds me of? Something from last week in Matthew 13, verse 20. We were talking about the parable of the sower, the seeds being thrown upon the ground, the seeds being the word of God. Let me read Matthew 13, 20 to you. He that received the word... seed received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. With joy. That means he received the word gladly. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the world, by and by he is offended. So, you know, this is the thing where Herod at first heard the word of God, and he observed John, and he heard what John was saying gladly. And last week when we were talking about the parable of the sower that's thrown up on the stony places, it's the Lord said later in the chapter that that's the guy that hears the word and he's glad to hear it. And here John the Baptist is ultimately killed or commissioned to be killed by a man who initially gladly heard his words. Just a little something to think about. Let's continue in our chapter, verse number 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto them, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Now, we're being told of what's happened already in the past. We're being told the story here. And Herod has taken his brother Philip's wife. Her name is Herodias. Now, I hope she was a beautiful woman because that's a ferocious name. Okay? But he's taken his brother Philip's wife, and John bucked him on it and said, it's not lawful for you to do that. It's not right for you to do that. And verse 5 says, and when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. So here Herod, I am bumbling these names up something fierce today. Herod initially was glad to hear the words of John the Baptist, but then John said something that he didn't like, and he wanted to put him to death, but he was afraid of the multitude because the multitude counted John the Baptist as a prophet. And verse 6 continues, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. So here we're at a Herod's birthday party, and Herodias gets up and dances before Herod, and he's impressed, and he tells her that You know, I tell you what, just ask me whatever you want and I'll give it to you. How stupid is that? And so she's already been talked to by her mother, verse number 8 says, and she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head and a charger. And verse 9 says, the king was sorry, nevertheless for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Now what a tragedy here. A man who initially received the word of God with gladness from John the Baptist. He had heard the message and he had seen something in it. He respected John the Baptist. He thought John the Baptist was a holy man, and he watched this man and he listened to this man. But you know what? He didn't savor the words. He did not. If he had savored the words, he would have gone to John the Baptist and said, explain this thing to me. Hey, listen, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Herod might have become a Christian if he had taken the time to get in and savor the things of God. So this one was a little different for me. This is an example of savoring or not savoring, and it's an example of a lost person. Isn't that strange? Because I would have figured all of our examples would be about God's people. If this man had, hey, we don't know. These are the things that we don't know. God says that his word will not return back to him void. If Herod had taken the time to savor God's word and to really understand it to the point where he loved it and he trusted it and he cherished it, we don't know. He might have been saved. He might have accepted the Lord as his Savior, but he did not do that. So verse 13 continues, when Jesus heard it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Oh, I love that part of that verse. Jesus was moved with compassion. Aren't you glad he has compassion for people? Aren't you glad the Lord has compassion for us when we get down and out and we either from our fault or no fault of our own, we find ourselves in a difficult place. We can know that the Lord has compassion upon us. And then starting in verse number 15, we're starting a story that you already know about, okay? The feeding of the 5,000, but I want to use it as an example of savoring once again. Look in verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, and you know this story, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Okay, so here they are. They're out in the middle of nowhere and it's hot and it's getting late, Brother Jerry, and you know how we are about dinner. And so the disciples sense this. There's a lot of people here, Lord. Send them away so they can get taken care of. And Jesus says unto them in verse 16, they need not depart. Give you them to eat. Now, before we go on, okay? Before we go on, now is a good time, Brother Stacy, for them to savor the words of Christ. To savor the words of Christ. Okay, so Jesus says in verse 16, they don't need to go anywhere. They need not depart. Give you them to eat. Now, if they were savoring the words of Christ, remember the word, the definition of savor is to think and study and learn about it so much that you begin to believe it and trust it and cherish it. If they had done at this time that very same thing about what Jesus said, they would look at their 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and they would say, here's the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Creator of the world, telling me to feed these 5,000 men and maybe 2,000 or 3,000, who knows, women and children. I don't understand it, but I better do it. If they truly savored the Word of God, if they truly believed it, they would have just done it. Because that's what the savoring is. The savoring of the Word of God is taking it in, and if you have a question or a little bit of unbelief, you stay in it and you absorb yourself in it and you keep trying to understand it and you pray and at some point God has promised us that He'll give us understanding. But in verse 17 they say unto Him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And He said, "Bring them hither," or "bring them here to me." And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up into heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Now, if they had just savored the words of Christ in verse 16, they don't need to depart. Give you them to eat. If they had just savored that, they would have taken their cue to get the people together and it'd been okay to not understand it, but just do it. Come on, guys, you 8,000 people gather around. I got 2 fishes and 5 loaves, but the Lord says do this and we're going to do it. That's savoring. That's understanding. That's believing it because you actually trust God to do what He says He would do. So first we had the example of Herod, the unbeliever, not savoring the words of John the Baptist, which had the words of Jesus Christ, not savoring the words by Herod. Now we've got the disciples not really savoring the words of Christ, that the multitude didn't need to depart, just give to them what they had. Let's look at the third example. Verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him into the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Now the disciples, if you will, the disciples have 2 fears now. They're in the middle of a sea that the wind's making the waves toss that ship about. And they're fearing for their lives. That's the first concern. And Beverly, if that wasn't enough, here comes a ghost out of the darkness walking on the water. That's what they think it is, a spirit. So these guys are scared. And in verse 27, Jesus says, "Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come into the water. And He said, Come." Now, real quick, this is our third example of savoring. You listening? Guess what, Peter? This is the time to savor the words of Christ. This is the time to really spend time listening to what the Lord says. The Lord says, "Come," in verse 29, "and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." Do you think if Peter had truly savored the words of Christ, do you think that if he truly read the word or heard the words of Christ and believed them, that he would have started sinking? I don't think so. Because if you go back to Matthew chapter 16 and you look how Jesus was rebuked by Peter, and Jesus' response to Peter was, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man," or vice versa, in different order. And what Jesus was saying is, "Peter, you're spending too much time talking and thinking like these Sadducees and Pharisees and these scribes. You're not spending enough time absorbing my words." And I think here, if Peter had truly... Now, he started out well. That's another thing. He did start out very well. But when it got a little rough, he started sinking. And immediately, in verse 31, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Hey, Peter. When the waves got rough and you looked down in the water and you started sinking, why did you doubt that I would take care of you? Well, can I answer that question? It's because he didn't truly savor the words of Christ. I submit to you as a child of God and as church members, probably everybody in this room and everybody that we'll see this morning in this service at times has listened to the Word of God and maybe even read the Word of God. But there's been something in the Word of God that they haven't savored, you know. They haven't spent so much time in it to where it affects them, where it changes them, where they believe it, where they love it. They cherish it and relish it like you would relish the makings of a juicy, wonderful steak when you go out to eat. You love it. You just love it. You savor it. You cherish it. You've thought about it all week, and now you're at the table, and you're enjoying it. And that's what God wants us to do with His Word. He wants us to get into it, and He wants us to cherish it and love it. Verse 32 says, "And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought into him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." More works that the Lord had done. Now here in Matthew 14, we've seen these three examples. Herod not savoring the words of Christ and allowing it to turn his unbelief into belief, into true trust of what John the Baptist had been saying. That's the first example. And then the disciples not really savoring the words of Christ when he said, give these 8,000 people, these 5,000 men, what you got? They'll be okay. Lord, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, how are we going to do that? No, if they had really savored the words of Christ, they would have just got up and they would have started handing out the food. And the food, the Lord would have taken care of it. And then our third example here of Peter not savoring the words of Christ fully. He did it first. But then he got scared and he didn't really savor the words of Christ when he started sinking. Now, how much in our life do we not, and don't answer this out loud, but just think back in your life, how much do we not savor the Word of God? Oh man, it sounds good when Brother Chris is up here preaching it, Brother David, Sunday night, sounds good. I see it in God's Word. It's good. I mean, I see it. He'll take care of it. It's right here, Linda. He'll take care of it. And then we get out on Monday to work. Or we get out to the doctor's office. Or we get out with our kids. And then we, you know, it sounded good last night. But I'm just going to do it my own way. That's easy to do. And when we do that, we're showing him that we haven't fully trusted him. We don't want to actually fully trust and believe what he's told us because we don't want to hear it. I know some people. I'll say I know one person that's really bad at this. Nobody here, by the way. You can't get through a sentence without being interrupted. You know anybody like that? And I know a person that it don't matter what I say, I know they're not going to be listening to me. Because right in the middle of my sentence, Jerry, he's going to start the beginning of his. You know anybody like that, Jim? And sometimes it makes me so upset that I just want to stop and say, I'm sorry, did the middle of my sentence interrupt the beginning of yours? Because we know they're not listening. And as a child of God, sometimes we just don't listen. We don't truly listen, and we don't truly savor the words that we're being told by the Lord. I want to read you a story here, and then we'll finish. One day, two frogs were hopping in and out of a watering hole and accidentally hopped into an extremely deep hole. They tried to leap out, but to no avail. They had no success. So they began to yell and croak until other frogs heard them and came to help. The other frogs came to the hole and looked over into the hole and said that the hole was too deep for them to help, but both frogs kept trying to leap up the sides, the walls of the hole anyway. The other frogs at the top, leaning over the hole, began to yell to the frogs in the hole to tell them to just give up and die. There's no use. The hole's too deep. You can't get out of the hole because it's too deep. You can't jump high enough to get out of the hole. But both frogs just kept leaping and trying to do what they were being told that they could not do. And they leaped for hours, and one of the frogs just gave up. He was so exhausted, and he shortly died. So the other frogs in the hole by himself with his friend that's passed away, and he kept leaping, but the other frogs at the top insisted, kept yelling and telling him that there was no way for him to get out of the hole, so he just needs to give up and die, and at least die with some dignity. Finally, the frog leaped up so high that he was able to leap up to the top of the hole and use his back legs as a push to get out of the hole. And the other frogs surrounded him when he got out of the hole and said, even though we told you to give up and there was no hope of you getting out of that hole, you kept trying and you did a good job. The frog that got out of the hole thanked each of the frogs individually. And he thanked each of the frogs because he thought that they were encouraging him to get out of the hole, but he didn't know because he was deaf. And all the commotion that they were doing and all that, he thought that he was being encouraged to get out of the hole, but yet he was being encouraged to just lay down and die. And in essence, what he had done was savored words that they weren't even saying. They were savoring words. He was savoring, listening, and thinking and trusting words that they weren't even saying. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, we've got God's completed words in our hand here. We know exactly what he's saying. All we got to do is trust it. All we got to do is savor it, believe it, study it, learn it, spend time in it, believe it, trust it, place our life in it, and our God has promised us understanding. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? The psalmist had it down, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The psalmist had no problem with that. He says, I know exactly what to follow, and that's the light of God's word in a very dark. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for being here. Good to see Bridget and Steve. Good to see you guys. We miss you something fierce. We miss a lot of people around here during this COVID time, and we certainly miss you from moving away from us. But we've forgiven you for that. I want you to know that. No hardness of heart and bitterness. Steve, are you able to pray? Can you dismiss us in prayer?